Hello everyone and welcome to JFG tonight for this review of the Laurence Sutton, The Whole Truth, a movie that she had been talking about for a while, that she wanted to come out, that there was kind of, I think it refers to her previous comments, that there was kind of a casting couch in the dissident right. And when I heard her say this, I kind of criticized it to a certain extent. I mean, I love Laurence Sutton, and I'm not fully critical of this movie. I think it's excellent that she did it, because she had things on her heart, and there are things that are relevant in there. There are new statements that we have to know about the Paul Joseph Watson, the Milo of this world. It's good to know all this. Very good, and I'm not critical of her doing it. I think it's excellent information, and it should interest everyone. However, there is still some kind of a... there is a proper diagnosis of some pathological things by Laurence Sutton, but she lacks insight into how do we fix this and who is the problem, really. Because she says the dissident right as a problem. As far as I'm concerned, Paul Joseph Watson, Tommy Robinson, Alex Jones, and her, and Ezra Levant do not constitute the dissident right. It's like she's hung out with the most toxic people in attention gathering on the internet, and now she's surprised that they take cocaine and they get prostitutes and they want to sleep with her. It's like, holy shit, Lauren. If only you knew how bad things really are. The problem is you've been hanging out with the wrong people. I mean, and it hurts me at the end of this movie where she says there's no one who really cares about the truth in the dissident right. Hello, I'm here. I talked to you in DMs, Lauren. Back in the days, we were inviting you on Blood Sports. When you took your hiatus, I told you good luck with your hiatus, and I hope it goes well for you. And whenever you want to come back to the internet, come and we'll do an interview. There are people who care about the truth in the dissident right. You just didn't cultivate them. That's your problem, Lauren. You cultivated the worst of it, and you didn't care about people like me, and I'm not even complaining. It's like, I don't want to make this little show tonight as, why don't you speak to me, Lauren? Because I don't care, and I understand that I'm so small, and even back when I was inviting her at 20,000 views a video, I was to a certain extent still too small for her. So I'm not saying tonight she should have contacted me or she should have accepted my interview invitations to her. I don't care, and I understand the business of it. But don't come and complain that there is no one who cares about the truth in the dissident, right? And then I look at your decisions throughout your career, and you have farmed and you have cultivated only those toxic people, and you have ignored the people who are more genuinely interested in right-wing ideas and interested in the truth. I mean, I'm disappointed that she cast a whole umbrella over the so-called dissident right, and basically, there's kind of a... there's an ethnic over-representation in the people that she complains about as being cocaine addicts and liars and exploiters. It's like, yeah, those are not dissident right thinkers. They are people who have surfed and who have grifted on an actual intellectual movement. And you have grifted with them to some extent. And, I'm saying this while also acknowledging the quality of what Laurence Sutton has been producing. She's been doing some of the greatest stuff visually that the right has ever produced in this whole era. So congratulations to her, but let us not mistake what has been going on for the last 6 years. There are actual intelligent people interested in the truth, and then there are, for each of them, there are 99 grifters who can gather more views, who can gather more attention, and who can gather more money. And you've only been hanging out with the grifters, because that was the business, and that was your business, Lauren. I mean, she says that she hates it when people point out that she's just a blonde and a cute-looking blonde, and that's why she reached fame. But that's what it is. I mean, I could have produced anything that she's ever produced, and I wouldn't have reached 1% of her audience. It's quite simple. People love to see cute blondes, and she tints her hair blonde because that's the demand of the audience. Anyways, let's review the whole thing. I will dig through the various timestamps, and I will try to explain what I remember from her statement. Mark says, Jeff, when was the documentary released? It was released 2 days ago on YouTube. It's called The Whole Truth. It has this little, quality documentary feel to it. But at the same time, it's really just her being captured in the forest speaking for 3 hours. That's basically what the documentary is, with some degree of editing and some degree of flashbacks. So we see her rise as a Rebel News contributor. Very interesting to see her have an outlook on her meteoric rise. You know, she says, people say I'm a good-looking blonde and that's why I'm popular, but I worked hard for this. And I'm like, this is so naive. You worked hard, okay, but men who would work that hard just wouldn't become that popular. With your takes, which are not top, but they're not bottom either, you have average takes, and you have a good drive for honest journalism. A guy who comes on the scene with that kind of characteristics would make 1% of your audience. Thomas O'Ward says, I'll say it again. If JF wants to do a deep dive into Lauren Sutherland, he should have a live stream with Oliver Klozoff and Mike Hawk. It's what the fans on the live chat would want. I don't know who are these people. I've heard their name. They were mentioned to me, but you'd have to explain to me why I should talk to these people. What's their relationship to her? In any case, personally, I go through the whole truth of Lauren Sutherland, and I believe her first-hand testimony. You know, I believe that Paul Joseph Watson tried to fuck her. I believe that one of her fans flied her in the US, reserved the Airbnb for her, and wanted to fuck her. Yeah, you know, it's and this is where it credits to her for making this, because she looks naive and it looks bad, this video, and yet she felt that it was honest to do, and credits to her, because it's true, she does look naive. So the first big story is that while she was part of Rebel News, there's a guy who says, I love your videos. It's like, someone who loves your videos masturbates to your videos if you're a woman, okay? So the guy says, I love your videos so much, I want to see you produce a video in my town. I will pay for the ticket. I will reserve a bed for you in a Airbnb, which was like a bed under a stairs in someone's house. And she gets into this whole situation while not understanding at 19 years old that this meant sex. So a guy masturbates to your videos and he flies you to his hometown, to a bed that he has paid himself. That is sex, Lauren. Now, of course, she says, now I get it because I'm older, but she didn't understand this. And this is where you're stricken by this whole video. It's like the whole naive Canadian cutie just goes and learns about the world. woman moment, says Nicholas Petris. Yes. So, I mean, and then you ask yourself, well, okay, that's dirt on an anonymous guy who she was faulty to trust, basically. So certainly not a case that the dissident right has an internal problem. Then she talks about Rebel News. So that's her couch surfing story. She talks about Rebel News, and basically what leads her to be fired from Rebel News is that they were planning a trip to Israel. And she quickly realizes that, okay, so she's being ordered to solicit funding for this trip, and she's being ordered to present it to the audience as, this is a trip of investigative journalists. We're going to go and learn so much stuff, and we're going to question people. And then she realizes, as the trip gets organized, that it's not a trip of investigative journalists. It's a trip of Jews going to a Jewish country, organizing with the officials and institutions there for a very softball type of interview about how Israel is great. And she reacts to this. I had never known that story. Apparently it's the first time that she ever tells it, at least that way. So she's like, I'm uncomfortable. We are telling the audience to send us $5, $20, $50 to fund this trip to Israel. We're telling them that it's going to be investigative journalism, and yet what you're showing me is an official schedule with interviews about institutional people who we know already what they will say. So it's not investigative journalists. So she writes an email to the higher-ups at Rebel News, and she says, I'm uncomfortable about the whole promotion of this. We're lying to people, basically. There seems to be a difference between what you're telling me and what we're actually doing and what we're telling the audience. And absolutely honorable of her to have done this. The next day, she gets invited to an office by Ezra Levant or some other higher-up, and she gets fired. She gets fired for sending that email that says, hey, I'm feeling uncomfortable. Could I be excluded from the public video? Because I'm not sure I want to take part. And, you know, if you want to kick me from the trip, it's okay. I won't go to Israel, but I don't feel comfortable as a journalist in terms of what we're doing there. So, again, the Canadian naive cutie just bumps with her naivete toward the kind of, you can't criticize Israel even in the so-called dissident right wing, which should have been a red flag to Lauren Sutton, that she's not talking to the dissident right. You're talking to a bunch of commercial grifters who are, they're kind of the third grade gatekeeping station for the minds of white Canadians and Americans. And their job is to take whoever would have watched CNN and whoever would have watched Fox News and get tired of these outlets, and they say, I want more. Things like Rebel News are to ensure that these guys who give up CNN, give up Fox News, have an option to jump to that is not me. That is not Richard Spencer, that is not truly independent and creative thinkers of the internet. That is what the gatekeeping business is, and Ezra Levant does it extremely well. But Lauren Sutton, in all her naivete, thought that she could just express her thoughts about not behaving too dishonestly with the public, but once you put this in writing, you create a risk for irrelevant, Lauren. You have put it in writing, so he has no other choice than to fire you. It's like, what if 5 years from now, you continue working at Rebel News, and 5 years from now, you're holding this email that you sent him, and not only this, you're holding it as blackmail against him. He has to take the decision to fire you. That was both honorable on the side of Laurent to have done this, but also understandable on the side of Ezra Levant. She has raised a problem against basically a trip to Israel and dishonesty toward our audience. We can't keep her. Some random bloke has sent a super chat, by the way. If you'd like to support the show, use the super chat option on Odyssey. It's the dollar button in the regular chat. Odyssey is my favorite platform for super chats and for supporting the show. It's the best way. You can also use Entropy alternatively. The link to Entropy is in the description below. Some random bloke says, "Hey Jeff, didn't Faith Goldie get booted from Rebel News for being too dissident? If you catch my drift, would you have her on your show?" I've had Faith Goldie on my show before, and she made me cry. She made me cry because she brought up the idea that suddenly an alliance was possible between the truly French people of Quebec and the truly English people of Canada. And I found it beautiful. I cried that day. That was years ago. But yeah, no problem having Faith Goldie anytime she wants to talk. We had a super chat during the night. Doctrine sent on Entropy. "Hi, Jeff. What's your opinion about the Holocaust? How much of the official story do you think is true? What about gas chambers and extermination camps?" My dear Doctrine, I don't know how long you've been on the internet and how much you know me and this show. It is literally impossible for me to share any thoughts to any degree, on any direction, in any dimension. I cannot even blink right now because they're going to interpret my blinks. Basically, what you are asking, the intellectual response to it and the actual engagement to that question is criminal in Canada. And they're actually looking to make the laws worse even. Not only is it criminal in Canada, answering that question can lead you to be totally definancialized, lose your family, your home, your money, your business, your ability to speak, and be eventually jailed and made to starve. So will I answer your question? No. Silver Spider says, "JF, blink twice if you need to be rescued." Up to now, I'm doing good. I will warn you if the Canadian Mounted Police, if I hear the horses coming, I will let you know. Some random bloke says, "Michel Malkin," but thank you for supporting the show, Doctrine. Some random bloke says, "Michel Malkin abandoned Conservative Inc. and suffered for it. She is banned from Fox News. Even Kathy Upkins got booted from Fox News." Yeah, and I wouldn't be worried about this. You know what's really grave is not so much that you're banned from Fox News. It's the fact that Fox News is part of this elite channels of communication that have taken over the YouTube algorithm. So basically, it's a deal with the devil. Fox News will reject certain speakers. In exchange, Susan Wojcicki rewards Fox News, rewards CNN, and basically send you to all this crap automatically. That is what we have to resolve. If Fox News was this unthreatening outlet that it was in 2016, and you could go on YouTube and be an alternative to Fox News, and in fact, you could have audiences that were similar to Fox News, it wouldn't be dramatic that you're kicked from Fox News. The problem is that the attention of human beings has been taken over by algorithmic malpractices and basically a form of cartel of human attention that YouTube is. So that's why I'm on Odyssey tonight. That's why I moved to Odyssey. And we have to get working on this. Some people are saying buffering is there. Sorry. But we have to work to develop this platform. It is the only way freedom will be restored on the internet. Some random bloke says, "Hey, JF, what did you think of Hans Zundel? He was a Canadian dissident. Well, I don't know much about his story. My understanding is he got trialed for Holocaust denial or something like this in Canada and won his case, and then he got trialed for the same in Germany and lost his case. That's all I remember about him. I don't know the details. So let's continue. So Rebel News, well, Rebel News reacting to basically an illuminated, naive young journalist. It's too bad. It's heartbreaking because I understand Ezra Levant. He has to fire her. She has put in writing basically that he's dishonest. She's a risk. She's potential damage for the company. But at the same time, we have to find a way for the system, whatever it is, whether we're talking employment, intellectualism, education on the internet, we have to find a way so that the naivety of Lauren back then is rewarded rather than punished. And that's a beautiful thing that comes out of this video. But even Lauren isn't quite cognizant of this, because her conclusions is, oh, I'm going to withdraw a little bit from the dissident right because they're evil. And I would tell her, be a little more like a farmer, Lauren. I mean, I'm farming lettuces right now. You find the good seed and you let it grow in your garden. You care for it. You let the good grow. You remove the bad weeds. What Lauren Southern is not doing properly is that, yeah, of course, if you go to Israel First, Ezra Levant, Rebel News, that's what you're going to get. You're going to get dishonesty over honesty. You're going to get, you come with us to Israel or you're fired. And I wish, instead of seeing this as a negative of the dissident right, I wish that people were intelligent enough to say, I'm going to farm the positive of the dissident right. Because something very magical happened in 2016 to 2020. And although she sees it as a dark part of her life, I would hope that she had used this time to draw attention to actual thinkers on the internet that were actually creative, consistent, and intelligent. Because if Lauren Sutter... Oops, I dropped my little pen here that I like to play with, but I actually have a replacement playpen. There it is. When I dropped the first, I got a second one. If Lauren Southern had the experience of being interviewed, for example, by me, instead of taken in this grifter space, she could have positive souvenirs of the dissident right. She could look at it and say, well, there was a guy who wasn't taking cocaine when I was going to the bar with him. There was a guy who didn't try to fuck me because he's already with Mama JF. But she has entertained and she has farmed and cultivated exactly the opposite of this. Because she's stuck with all sorts of stories of blackmail, where Tommy Robinson has blackmailed against this guy and this other guy has blackmailed against this guy. This is none of the things that I have experienced in the dissident right, so-called dissident right. In fact, it's been a pretty open intellectual movement that I've experienced, with friendships that are, that have resisted the test of time and the test of smears and the test of everything. I wish that Lauren Southern got to know a little more of this. Mama JF, I will be removing your chats. You have to take it down a notch. Let us not be so dangerous in our speech. Let us continue. So she meets Milo, and some of the things we learn about Milo, of course, it's not so much that we learn. I mean, you can see in the way the guy behaves publicly that there's something psychopathic, kind of narcissistic and wrong with the guy. But we learn a little more of the detail, and that's very good. That's a very good aspect of Milo and all the information that she reveals in this movie. So we see some DMs that Milo has been exchanging. We see a little snaky aspect to him where at some point he decides to be revolted against a guy named Alum Bukhari. And apparently Alum Bukhari is the guy who wrote the Milo book. So Milo is not intelligent enough to even write his own books. So he has other people write his book. And suddenly, you know, not only do we learn that Milo has never paid the copyrights that he owes to this guy. So Milo is having this guy write the book. Then Milo is cashing in on the book and he's not paying back. And so Milo becomes nervous and he calls Lauren Sutton and he's like, and because Lauren Sutton, I don't know if I'm reporting this correctly, but Lauren Sutton somehow fucked with this guy. And so Milo asks her for dirt on him. Because Milo doesn't want to pay him, and now he's getting pissed, and he's like, I'm so pissed that I could release dirt on you. So Milo tries to do a kind of preemptive dirt release, and he's like, give me everything you got against Alum Bukhari. And naive Canadian cutie Lauren, what's her reaction to this? She gives dirt. And then she complains about the dissident right. And she was like, yeah, now I understand that it was wrong and that it was the wrong thing to do and that Milo is a liar. But initially, I believed Milo. I believed that. So Milo came to her and said, look, Alum Bukhari is plotting to become a leftist. I need your help, Lauren Sutton. Give me all the dirt you got from the days you were with him. And she gives the dirt. And then she's like, you know, there's a toxic culture in the dissident right. You have been acting extremely dishonestly and you have been acting irresponsibly. Because when you have someone like Milo, you have to know that this guy is so narcissistic that any dirt you give him will be misused in the worst possible ways. And this guy wants to crash careers. She should have seen that the narcissistic aspect of Milo's personality should lead her to be careful about giving him information on her ex. Thomas Howard says, in the court of Optics King, or something like that. Prometheus says, Mama Jet. No, I'm not reading this. All right, there is lots of trolling going on in the chat. So, again, you should see in just this arrangement, you have a person writing a book for someone else. Just this arrangement is a demonstration that you're faced with intellectual grifters, that you're faced with people who can't think. There's not a word from this book, I mean, other than the corrections and the little phrasings here and there. I created this book. I create my own stuff. If you're faced with a situation where an author is uttering the books of someone else, you are already in the grifting space and you should know it. You're not in a genuine dissident right intellectual movement. But this kind of insight doesn't come from the whole truth documentary of Lauren, which is why I'm kind of disappointed. The stuff that she releases, the raw info that she releases, is interesting. And there is an honorable and noble reason she does this. But there is the third aspect that's missing to this movie. It's insight. You are not faced with intellectuals. You're faced with a gay man who's narcissistic personality has allowed him to propulsate himself toward unmet before levels of media attention during a short period of time. That's what's happening. You are hanging out with the grifters and you get grifting as a result. And she got involved in the blackmail due to all this, but now eventually ends up realizing that no, Milo is the evil man. He lied to her. Alan Buckery was not plotting anything, and he's not evil, and she shouldn't have given the dirt. Go away, says JF. I had someone else write all my uni paper. It was all my ideas, but frankly, I'm too busy to sit down and write a whole paper. Nothing wrong with that, in my opinion. Some of us are juggling a lot of things in life. I mean, personally, I am totally against it. I would never do this. I think it's disgusting practice. If you don't respect enough the sense of a diploma to be yours, to the point of delegating the task of getting that diploma, then why do you respect that diploma at all? And why are you trying to get it? Maybe I would take a pragmatic argument on this if you were to tell me, well, JF, I don't care. I just want the diploma as a tool. But to me, that's a big disrespect to the principles of academia as I see it. Not that I respect the academia that currently exists, but academia as it should be, shouldn't be that way. Some random bloke sends a super chat. He says, hey, JF, Ed Dutton has partnered with a German university to release a course on sociobiology. Can you look up releasing a course? Some people have approached me with this university information. And my conclusion is that's just yet another blog of a YouTube creator releasing stuff for paid content. I don't say that I will never participate to such a thing. You know, the idea of selling you guys a course at $100 a pop. Maybe one day I'll be constrained to do this. But I don't like what it's looking like for now. I don't like grifting on the university team when I think that what I moved on to life in my life is better than the university. I spread ideas for free, and this is better than just draining huge amounts of money from people. I love surfing on what you guys can pay. So I love the fact that I can live from $3 super chats by some random bloke. I don't believe in restraining access to information. I believe that if we get together, we can get a show that is better because it's free. I think that your money makes more sense when it's not just for you to view my content, but your money allows 1,000 other people to view my content. That is better. It's a better model than pay for see. And then whoever has not paid cannot even be this. You can't meme because no one knows about the course, because no one has bought it. You can't share the knowledge. You can't argue in the chat. You can't criticize the knowledge publicly because you have to pay to get access to it. It's ridiculous. So the principles I don't like. Also the fact that these blogs are popping out, and without criticizing them, but people like Academic Agent are doing the same. It's like everyone is starting their $100 blog, basically. What you have is a $100 blog. You want to sell your blog for $100. And then you put the label university, and your blog is a little longer, and that makes it a university course. I don't like it. I don't like the amount of leaps of faith that are required to believe that all of this is not deceptive. Now, I could make a decent university-like course on biology, but I don't know if I don't know. If I had something important on biology to share, I would share it on the show. And the fact is that there aren't hours of content that's important. There aren't tens of thousands of hours to generate about biology. There's a couple of things I have to say about biology, and I share them here. And as long as this will be viable, I will infinitely prefer what we're doing here to what I would be doing if I was to sell each hour $100 to you. Now, collecting money of that kind might help me produce something more serious, something more complete. I would feel pressure to give you the best of what I know about biology. But I also feel pressure to produce a good show every night. And to me, we are engaged in a conversation here that wouldn't be met in terms of quality by a paywall system. I'm just from a moment of the internet. It's my genesis. I'm born that way. I'm born in the super chat. You have merely adopted the super chat. I am born in it, molded by it. Firestarter says, thanks for not having a paywall, JF. Thank you so much. And Orion sends 15 LBC. And he says, take my fake Odyssey money. It won't be fake when the next bull run comes in, let me tell you. So blackmail stories here. She gets involved with basically the wrong people. And she tells the story of Milo starting a white privilege grant, so basically collecting money from the crowds, starting what he would want to be a white privilege grant, where he would basically give money to poor white people just to demonstrate the whole ridicule of the SJW approach. And Milo designates someone to handle the funds of this. And he drops her under the bus and eventually makes it look like she stole the funds, but she hasn't stolen the funds. And she eventually publishes a proof that that all of the money is held in an account held by Milo Yiannopoulos. And that grant never happened. It was never given to poor white people. Basically, Milo drained that money through his, and she presents a champagne bottle. It's probably what that money went to, the narcissistic, extravagant taste of Milo. And also the fact that he was living a lifestyle of extremely high debt. You know, he had companies that were bankrupting, and basically, his whole thing was going to shit, and one day he did a whole meltdown on the internet, which we've covered, eating luxury stuff at extremely high price. Basically, the commitments of Milo concerning this white privilege grant never came to be, and in a way that it does seem that a massive amount of money, I mean massive, not for Milo maybe, but certainly massive by the standard of the people who gave that money, went to waste. And it seems that Milo is to be guilty of this. A very interesting reveal. She then tells the story of her interacting with these two gay guys who are the artists who worked with her and Tommy Robinson and Stefan Moliner on various things across the years. And she gets to know them and Tommy Robinson. She describes a toxic relationship between Kylan, George, and Tommy. Basically, Kylan and George sometimes having trouble with Tommy not showing up, and they're pissed off that he didn't show up, so they use his credit card to get drinks. And it's all shit and shit between the three. She describes this as a toxic relationship. Interesting reveals. I hadn't understood the dynamics of these two guys. Basically, artists interested in filming. That she presents them as interested in filming, mostly interested in art, but then working with Tommy Robinson, and somehow their character weren't fit to work together, but they kept working together. They kept working together throughout the years and abusing each other verbally, and at times, you know, charging stuff on the credit card and that wasn't agreed upon, and accusing each other of being irresponsible again. And these guys move on, and I think that Lawrence Sutton is too easy on these guys, because these guys move on to give interviews with people like Faraday Speaks, you know, the guy like, we have to censor the internet because I have been brainwashed by the right wing and I don't want it to happen to other young men. That kind of guy, and giving interviews that basically they are leftists now. And she treats their whole story and tries to defend them as, well, of course they're going to leave the right wing. They've been pushed out of the right wing through abuse. I think there is something to be criticized at the people whose work is inconsistent across the years, who will participate to right-wing IDs, claim right-wing IDs, surf and drain money from the right wing, and who will eventually, at the first instance, at the first moment they can, betray the right wing. To me, her explanation that, oh, they got pushed out of the right wing through abuse does not suffice. Even if there were abusive people in the right wing, that shouldn't change your idea of right-wing IDs. It wasn't your conviction to begin with. If you've abandoned those convictions due to a personal conflict, if you have intellectual pillars of the kind that I have, there is not a single thing that a single human being can ever abuse me with that will change my mind on ideas that are factual in nature and political in nature. And so the explanation of Lawrence Sutton is very pro-Kalen and George in this story, and too much. Too much. It's not that participating to right-wing projects should bind you to always think the same thing, but you have to have some degree of honesty here. If these are homosexual leftist filmmakers who just enjoy filmmaking so much that they don't mind doing it about right-wing ideas, then be honest about it. If you truly believe in right-wing ideas, be honest about it, but don't display that you're a right-winger and benefit from right-wing funding and then make the switch whenever the money isn't coming anymore. You have to show me some degree of solidity and some degree of continuity in your mindset around right-wing ideas, which I don't see in this guy. So this guy, as far as I'm concerned, should be much more criticized than what Lawrence Sutton does. But Lawrence Sutton approaches this whole, and this is 3 hours, this video. It's a female 3 hours. I mean, it's woman exudes from this video. It's all about he says this and she says that and I feel that. And so she approaches the problem of these two guys, Callan and George, from a woman perspective, not from an intellectual one. So she sees all sorts of trouble between Tommy and Kalen and George, but this doesn't stop her from participating to the Day of Freedom. And the Day of Freedom, the qualms that she has with it, so it's this Day of Freedom in the UK, where there was Sargon of Akkad, there was Tommy Robinson, Lawrence Sutton. And they had invited, to be really about free speech, they had invited a Muslim who somehow got criticized before by Tommy Robinson. And the Muslim comes in to do his speech, and he gets verbally assaulted and eventually physically assaulted, basically by nationalist Britons in the crowd that didn't want him to speak. And, you know, is this a problem of the right wing? Well, it's a problem that you tried pulling an event without the proper security measures that would make this not happen. But he didn't get assaulted by the right wing. He didn't get assaulted. For all you know, the guys who assaulted him were agents. They may not have been genuine right-wing thinkers. They were certainly not, you know, known people. So the fact that some random guys in the crowd assault a Muslim, is that a basis to dump onto the whole dissident right-wing movement? To me, it isn't. And to me, there is a problem in naive people like Lauren, who will take anything that happens and say, oh, it's the dissident right. There's a problem. There's not necessarily a problem. The problem is human beings, yes, and human beings are everywhere, and people get assaulted everywhere, and it will happen in the dissident right if you don't get the proper security measures. Thomas Howard says, I agree that JF has strong pillars on the facts, but sometimes I wish he was more resistant to perceived personal slights. The days of interactions with David Duke, Nick Fuentes, Richard Spencer, Edward Dutton et al. Were so interesting. Yeah, but those days, I mean, I'm open for some of these guys. I'm open to talk to them again. But you have to realize something. None of what I ever did in my life leads us today not to be able to speak with Nick Fuentes. I didn't cause this. It's not like Nick Fuentes and I could have done many shows together and I did something that totally broke the relationship. It's not this. By the time I ever spoke negatively about Nick Fuentes, he had been spending more than a year deriding me, insulting me, dismissing me. He was not going to come back on the show. So it's not like after a year of insults and personal attacks, I come and I just say my views about all this. It's not, I didn't cause Nick Fuentes not coming to the public space anymore. So keep that in mind. Sometimes the economics of the internet move in a way that you cannot do anything to stop it. So the economics of the internet made it so that Mr. Nick Fuentes thought that he was too great for me. What can I do then? I can only generate some comedy about it and laugh about it and have you guys think about what it means and what it means for planning a movement and what it means for maintaining the state of free engagement on the internet. That's all I can do. So, yeah, it's sometimes you cannot have what you would want. I cannot have Nick Fuentes in an interview right now, and I couldn't have a year ago and 2 years ago. He had already burned all of the bridges. So there was nothing for me to lose to honestly engage and reveal what I think about him, because he had burned the bridges already. Lucy in the sky with diamonds. So she's talking about the girl who eventually will be paying the price for this whole thing, the attack on the Muslim. Because Tommy Robinson, who had insisted and was okay with the planning of this Muslim coming, eventually goes on social media and denies that he ever wanted this Muslim there. Somehow he realized it's... He wanted to take the side of the assaulters in this story, I don't know. He decided that it was the right strategic move to do. And he starts denying that he ever wanted this Muslim on the stage. And he starts claiming that it's all because of Lucy. It's all this staff girl of his who made these decisions, and she's wrong, and she has been doing bizarre stuff with the money, and she basically fires her and drops her under the bus for something that he was the organizer of and that he had approved. I think it's excellent insight, and I really like that Lauren Southern exposed this story. I wasn't aware of it, but it shows that Tommy Robinson basically does not care about the truth, which... I know a grifter when I see one. I didn't need Lauren Southern to expose Tommy Robinson to have a low view of him, but she does it with facts that are extremely interesting to know. That's how he acted under the heat of the moment. He started dropping his staff under the bus. So first, Milo is so incompetent he can't write a book. He has other people write his books. He doesn't pay them. Tommy Robinson is so incompetent he needs the staffers to do all of his stuff. He does nothing. He's basically just a face. And Lauren Southern exposes that properly. That was well done. Alf Hartad says, JF, it's possible to leave a paid chat on Entropy before a live stream. It sits there until you podcast and read it. But it's not possible to do this on Odyssey. Paid chats can only be sent during the stream itself. Can you ask them to add this functionality? Yeah, that would be a very good idea. I will write to them. I would recommend you write to them also, so they get a member of the audience wanting it and a streamer. I think it's a great idea. Send them an email at hello@odyssey.com, and I will do the same tonight, so they're going to get... We're going to create a siege effect on these guys, and generally when I've been asking stuff, they've been very interested to hear and to fix those things. So there it goes for the Day of Freedom. So you have a mix of all sorts of things in Lauren Southern here. Well, the guy in the crowd that assaulted the Muslim, that's just a guy. We don't judge a movement, we don't judge IDs based on a single guy. Just like I wouldn't judge my channel and my show based on anything that a guy writes in the regular chat or in the comments. So that's not valid. And then the behavior of Tommy Robinson, that's alarming. That's very well exposed by Lauren Southern. But is that the behavior of the dissident right? To me, it's the behavior of an attention grifter who's a one-trick pony around the theme of rape gangs in the UK, you know? So to me, we're not faced with a thinker from whom I expect consistency or even honesty. Ariel Suarez says, Milo can't write his own book. If he has the time and ideas to put on paper, he should be able to at least come up with something. Yeah, these guys are so out there that they're like so in the management of their image that they've reached a point where they don't mind paying someone else or promising to pay someone else to write the content of their book. That is a moment I will never reach in my life. Never, never, never. You're never going to get a JF book written by someone else. I insist on constructing the book at all levels, and the only level in which I allow contributions is correction and review. And sometimes, you know, the corrector will rewrite a turn of phrase, but that's it. Then she enters the Faith Goldie part. Very interesting. So the whole story around Faith Goldie is that she... When they were young and when they were together and... they were interacting between one another. They had this whole idea of making a documentary in South Africa about the white farmers' murders. And so they discussed these ideas. It was a thing they wanted to do together. And Lauren Southern sets up a trip to get to South Africa But then suddenly remembers, oh, you know, Faith Goldie wanted to do this with me. So she called, before getting to South Africa, she calls Faith Goldie and she says, do you want to come with me? And Faith Goldie is pissed because Faith Goldie says, are you kidding me? I'm already planning to go to South Africa. I have my tickets for in a month from now. And I think Lawrence Sutton is right here to point out that how is Faith Goldie being pissed that Lawrence Sutton is telling her in advance? Like, Faith Goldie had her tickets planned for South Africa, and she didn't warn Lawrence Sutton about it. Now, Lawrence Sutton gives advance notice to Faith Goldie, and Faith Goldie somehow is pissed about it and takes issue with the fact that it makes her lose the exclusiveness of it all. This is more female drama. I think it's again the intellectual approach of Lawrence Sutton, kind of naive approach, where for her it's not a problem that they both will produce documentaries about South Africa. But for Faith Goldie it comes out as a problem, so that's why she goes crazy and starts being pissed at Lawrence Sutton. And eventually this all builds into a rumor on the internet that Lawrence Sutton stole farmlands from Faith Goldie. On that, I will say, you know, talking about South Africa had been a thing in the dissident right. It had been a basis of comparison. In fact, you could argue that my episode about South Africa preceded any of these two girls thinking anything about South Africa. My episode with Frame Games. So, attributing, saying that Lawrence Sutton stole the South Africa thing from Faith Goldie, it's like asking about two people who anyways drained their IDs from more genuine intellectual movements. It's like asking about the delay, the speed at which they were successful at taking it from us and from other people. I think it's ridiculous, but I think also that Faith Goldie being deluded into thinking that she had some kind of exclusivity on South Africa is interesting to know. So that's it for the Faith Goldie part, and then we get into this ridiculous... Back in those days, I remember those days where Lawrence Sutton and Stefan Molyneux made an Australian tour. And I remember back then being like, what the fuck is happening? You know, Stefan Molyneux on an Australian stage saying, you know, if I saw these white people coming in giant boats from some other continent, last thing I would do is want to insult them. I would want to learn how they became so great. And then, you know, I remember the whole media scandals around them, and oh my god, I can't believe that they're doing something in Australia. So the whole story of this tour gets told by Lawrence Sutton. Basically, it boils down to this. A company invited them for this tour. They collected money. They paid for the venues. They made a lot of mediatic attention and all sorts of crap. But eventually, after 4 days, they came to Stefan and Lauren and said, we don't have money anymore. We wasted it all. And Lauren Sutton said they wasted it probably on some alcohol stuff. And basically, they expended too much. So they didn't have money to continue the tour. And then Lawrence Sutton and Stefan Molyneux both decide we're going to keep going to the venues that we had promised we were going to. And we're going to fund a large part of this whole trip with our own money because, okay, you guys wasted the money, but we have commitments to our audience and we don't want... People have paid for this. You wasted their money. But we have our commitment, so we're going to still go see them to the extent we can. So that's the whole story. And again, is this Australian company an organ of the dissident right? Not as far as I'm concerned. You surfed on grifting and you've entered a grifting network of people who are not thinkers of the dissident right. And it led you in a bad financial situation because basically, you know, that's one thing. If you're going to do this kind of tour, never believe a promise of reimbursement of your expenses. You only believe money in the bank. That is the only thing that exists. If someone tells you, I'm going to pay for your plane ticket, but you have to pay for it first, and I'm going to reimburse you after the trip is done, you'll never see the color of the money. Except if you're at the government or in an institution like a university. But if you're talking about a private company saying that to you, you're never going to see that money. The money always flows out, always gets drained by some teenager here or there who fucks the whole thing up. So that was an error, but is it an error attributable to the dissident right? No. It's the people you hung out with. Go away, says Jeff. Alcohol is insanely expensive in Australia due to tax. It was probably an honest mistake on their part. So Stefan Moliner has inflated the Australian state. Isn't that interesting? I'm sure he cannot sleep at night knowing this. All right, so that's it for this Australia part. Mark, I'm going to ban you if you ever attempt to do this again. Ban you forever, so think about it. You understand, Mark? Some random bloke says, hey, Jeff, what do you think of Gad Saad? Well, I've said it many times. Gad Saad is a clown, and he has some degree of success as a clown. Although personally, you know, in terms of clownery, I prefer the Cirque du Soleil as a Quebecois. But Gad Saad has his own circus performance in the arts of clownery. And The Parasitic Mind was the saddest book I've ever read. It's really a bunch of crap where he tries to surf on evolutionary concepts and doesn't even understand nor even uses these evolutionary concepts in his book. It's just the delusions of an old man who kind of tries to surf timidly on the quasi-center right or quasi-center of the reasonable response to SJWism. What a loss of time this man is in terms of any attention that you could ever give to him. All right, Australia tour. We see lots of images. That's really nice. You know, we remember those days, and it's kind of a nostalgic documentary. And then she has a black... Is that Brittany Pettibone? I'm not sure. Anyways, she has a black pill moment. And basically, Lauren Southern comes with a very personal explanation of why she disappeared from the internet. And I don't remember. I would have to watch the old episodes of The Public Space when that happened. I don't remember being rude to Lauren Southern, and I remember, you know, be telling her, yeah, if you need to take a break, take a break. And I don't remember being judgmental of her decision. Anyone should be able to withdraw from the internet if they wish to, if they want to stop their career. But we get a very personal insight from her in the documentary, which is that she wanted to have babies with her husband, and her husband is Australian, and basically she was put on no flight list, and she saw that she thought that the only way she could get out of those no fly lists was to completely disengage from politics. So that explains why she has published a video saying it's the end of my career, I'm stopping it. Basically, she wanted to be able to fly to see her husband's family in Australia. And it seems that it has worked. She got removed from the no-fly list after a few years. And basically, she was able to have babies, if I understand correctly, although she never states it explicitly. I understand that it's working. She can see her family, she can fly, and she can have babies. So absolute respect to this part. She cries when she says this, you know. It's very moving. Mostly because she wasn't able to tell people why she had to go. She wasn't able to be honest and forthright with people because, of course, if you start saying in your video, I'm doing this to be out of the no-fly list, then they will keep you on the no-fly list. They will say, oh, that was not an honest withdrawal. So now she comes out and she explains all of this. It's good to hear what were the personal reasons, and it's good to hear that Lauren Southern will spread our genes in Canada. You know, Lauren Southern is an excellent genetic specimen, and I would want her to have the most babies possible. Too bad it's with an Australian, but it's okay. So that's the part called the real reason I left. And then she talks about the lies spread about her. I was looking with great attention into this part because I remember covering all these things, and I was really, you know, watching, did I ever enter into communicating lies about Lauren Southern? Because all these Milo articles about her, I have reviewed them on the show. I cannot remember everything I've said, but I don't remember dropping Lauren Southern under the bus in those times. In fact, I remember being kind of annoyed at this whole open hate. Lauren Southern is a secret agent of the communists and all sorts of crap that were raised back then by Milo Yiannopoulos. I might probably have to go back and look at the episodes that I have on my external hard drive to see if back then I fell for some of these smears, but I don't remember that I did. I remember always finding Lauren Southern to be a respectable human being, you know, trying her own way and pushing into life through her own drive. So we get to see a private communication by Milo where Milo is basically telling her he needs dirt on some other person. He needs dirt on Kylan and George because they are betrayers. And Milo eventually tells her that because she doesn't want to give the dirt, he will eventually come after her. Milo looks very bad in these communications. You can see the narcissism in private. You can see there's something wrong with this guy. And ultimately, the whole Hope Not Hate coverage of trying to smear Kaylin and George as being agents of Hope and Hate, we learn is due to this private convo between Kaylin and George and Milo, where they talk about their little movie project. And they say, hey, would you be interested in doing a quote from you for the back of the DVD for Alex's new movie? Can you send a private link to watch it? So it was some Alex Jones documentary about don't watch this, like censorship and stuff. and Milo's response to this. It's ludicrous to make a movie like this without me in it. A joke. I'm patience zero for everything. No, also, go fuck yourself, you treacherous slime bag. Your day in the barrel is coming. I'm coming for you. You will not know when or how, but I am coming for you. And Kaelin and George answer, shame. Do what you want. It's a great movie. You could have been in it. And Milo Yiannopoulos responds, I don't need press. Your little film means nothing to me, but it has zero credibility without me in it. So you see the contrary nature of the personality of Milo? You should have gotten me in your shitty film. But it's not because I need to be in your shitty film. I'm too great. But it's because your film should have been so much better if it had me in it. Either it's a shitty film and you really don't care about being in it, or it's a film you would have wanted to be in it because it gives you some standing if you had been in it. You can't have the two here. It's one or the other. So yeah, Milo, extremely pathological behavior and extremely narcissistic, but it's not surprising. It's exactly the kind of narcissism that has proposed him ahead in the eyes of the media and people. Yeah, not surprised, but so interesting to get a raw look at the inside of it all. Some random bloke says, JF, when are you going to have lots of kids? I do not answer that kind of question. Thank you for your donation, though. There's no problem. Papa JF is rolling on gold. Papa JF is, like, you know what I care about in life, you know? And I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied in life. All right, so then the lies spread about me continue, and there's a series of lies around people dropping her under the bus, Kaelin and George becoming left-wing personalities and left-wing media. And then she shows a lot of comments on the internet about her, but I do not remember falling for any of these anonymous attacks on Lauren Sutton. So I was happy because I was going through this truly. Like, is there something that I've said in my life that gave credence to these Milo attacks? And I don't remember. I remember seeing these attacks, mentioning them on the show, and kind of pointing how assholey it was from Milo, and that the whole thing lacked support. I remember that Milo had convinced me that, yeah, perhaps there is something wrong with Kaelin and George. But I don't remember Lauren Sutton accusing her of anything else than being naive. And see, it's amazing because today it's still my position. She is a very naive woman. But, you know, have women ever had to be not naive? Is that a reproach that we should ever do to a woman? Because I would expect simply that women tend to get less involved in politics, and so they don't put themselves in the kind of situation that Lauren Sutton put herself. So she has brought kind of a more naive look to her circles than these circles had ever seen. Because being a Canadian is already being kind of naive, being kind of idealistic. If you're a young female Canadian, it's even worse. So then there's some blackmail between Kaelin and George and Tommy Robinson. Okay. And then she finishes with Paul Joseph Watson. And Paul Joseph Watson was extremely harsh on her when she suddenly returned after her hiatus from the internet. She was making all sorts of, he was making all sorts of tweets like, right-wing YouTuber suddenly returns claiming to be a nuanced centrist, having disappeared at the exact point where everyone else was fucked over and banned for the last 18 months, having thrown them under the bus by funding the very people responsible for all that, inauthentic. And I think that the takedown of Paul Joseph Watson is the strongest point of this video. I mean, she totally destroys the guy. First, she proves that Paul Joseph Watson has been doing exactly what he's criticizing her. Paul Joseph Watson, you'll remember, at some point he was with Alex Jones, with InfoWars, and eventually when all the censorship came in, he rebranded and started Summit News and started all of his own stuff. As it turns out, we learned that basically that was Paul Joseph Watson's way of distanciating himself from Alex Jones, because he was scared that his association with Alex Jones would eventually hurt his career. And so this tweet, to accuse Lauren Sutton of distanciating from the internet for her own personal reason, while he distanciated from Alex Jones precisely to avoid censorship, I mean, that totally destroys him. She adds on top of it that basically the whole frustration of Paul Joseph Watson against her is that he tried to fuck her. She said no. He insisted. She said, no, 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 I'm leaving. And that he's been sending her phone messages that she describes as cocaine-fueled, where he's very angry. Can't answer. Fraud. Disappointed. So disappointed. You can't answer. So pathetic. Jesus, just allow the comments. It's not hard. Pathetic. How dare you? Fuck off. Leave me alone. Well, you know, when you've typed 12 different messages and that she hasn't answered yet, you certainly don't want to say leave me alone. So basically, Paul Joseph Watson is on coke, apparently, according to Lauren Sutton. Thought higher of you, but after tonight, no. Just have a family life and enjoy and protect your child. Much respect for that, but otherwise, fuck off. Wow. The guy is pissed that she didn't want a one-night stand with him. And he's like, I do have respect for your ultimate reason, which is you wanna have your child and have a family life, but otherwise, fuck off. Bro, if you respect her reason, just be positive about it. You cannot tell her to fuck off. It's like, I respect your reason for not having sex with me, because I'm a traditionalist, conservative, talking man, but fuck off, because I really wanted to have sex with you. Wow, and Lauren Sutton says, you know, maybe Paul Joseph Watson will try to deny this, but I can tell you it's just the truth. It's what happened. And I believe her. You know, there doesn't seem to be anything in what she says that is out there and completely unjustifiable. It seems that she just speaks from the heart. So, but again, Paul Joseph Watson, is that the dissident right? It's an attention drainer, certainly. He's been mastering, you know, a part of the YouTube times where the anti-SJWism was so popular that he rose and peaked back then. I don't consider him a particularly fine thinker of the dissident right. I don't consider him a dissident at all, to be honest. I think he's an attention dragger, appealing to a kind of normie instinct against the far left. But I don't think he provides positive political pillars for his audience. So again, we're stuck with, okay, there's a lot of pathological personalities in the pathological circles of the right wing. That's what you discovered, Lauren, and I wish you could get to know the least pathological parts of the right wing. Because I wouldn't have tried to fuck you. I would have respected that you have a child with your Australian husband. I don't take cocaine. I farm lettuce. It seems that what she says at the end, this is what hurts me most. In the conclusion part here, she says it seems that there's no one interested in the truth in the right way. But I think you're wrong, Lauren. I think your own instinct, your poor instincts drove you toward the wrong places in the right, and you have seen grifting because that's the circle in which you've interacted. You have seen grifting because you hung out with grifters, and you've hung out with edgelords. And I would have wished that it was different for you. But at the same time, you know, there's nothing lost in life. You can always get back to get interested in the ID, get interested in interacting with people with smaller viewership also, and you'll discover people that are much more worth than the people you've been exposed to. Go away, says JF. So Paul Joseph Watson is straight and Jesse Lee Peterson is gay. Is this that thing they call the Mandela effect? Yeah. I'm happy that we have a confirmation Paul Joseph Watson is hetero. At least we got this, you know? All the homos in this video, it's just stunning. I mean, there's like 50% representation of gay people in Lawrence Sutton's video about the dissident right. That should tell you there's something wrong here. There's kind of a sampling error in Lawrence's decisions. How can you end up having dirt on the dissident right? And 50% of them are gay, and in fact, some of them were not even sure that they're not gay. DK Shadow says 50% that we know of. How is that a critique of the dissident right? You can't be. I mean, I don't want to say you absolutely can't, but. Certainly, if you are gay, it's extremely unlikely that you are living a reproductive, family-based, nuclear family, heterosexual lifestyle. Very unlikely. And this is one of the pillars of the conservative, true, traditional right wing. So, I mean, I love The Whole Truth by Lauren Sutton. I love that she did that. It came from the heart, but she has so much to learn still, and it's not so complicated. She has to have insight into what she's cultivating and how we can cultivate a better world for the future. We can cultivate a better world when you reach some kind of fame. And I had some degree of fame, not the degree of Lauren Sutton, but I had some degree of e-celebrity on the internet, and she had. It's your responsibility to take that fame, not to attract the eyes of people toward the worst, but to attract the eyes of people toward the best. And there's a failure there in Lauren Sutton to understand this. She didn't cultivate the best. She cultivated toxic relationships with people who had a parasitic an interface with the dissident right. They were draining from the fame and the money that was flowing onto us back then. And you could make the world different, Lauren, if you make different choices. All right, that is it for my review of Lauren Sutton, The Whole Truth. The link is in the description. I highly recommend you watch it. It's worth watching. There's all sorts of raw evidence in this movie that is very welcome. Silver Spider says JF farms lettuce, isn't gay, and living a traditional life, but Lauren Sutton doesn't go for that. Yeah, I mean, in a way, that's what's happening. It's like, yeah, if you make a little video with Fat Goldie in a hotel room in the center of Toronto, and you both look cute, and it's kind of lesbian-y porn-like type of experience for your viewer, of course you're going to get 100,000 views. Of course you're going to get 1,000,000 views. It's much harder to say, I'm going to go on this little blood sport show where maybe I'm going to get 200 live views and 2,000 non-live views, but it's worth it because I'm going to interact with positive people. Unfortunately, Lauren has constantly interacted with the most negative, the most narcissistic part of the right, and that's why she got this experience. All right. What else do we have in the news before we conclude the show? Woke goes broke. Zuckerberg preps for mass layoffs after one of the worst downturns for Meta platform. I hope that these platforms get hit with massive drops of income. That way they will have to fire their SJW censorship department. Google to slow hiring for the rest of the year as sunnier days come to an end. So Google has written a memo that was saying, we're going to have to be more entrepreneurial, more working with greater urgency, sharper focus, and more hunger. So basically, Google is back to not having those overblown list of workers that are just fucking up the company anyway. They will be working on smaller budget. John Bolton admits that he helped plan foreign coup attempts. Not surprising. This guy has been involved in warmongering for as long as he's alive, as far as I can tell. Someone sent me a movie, Crimes of the Future. He says I should watch this movie. I will have a look at it. Apparently it's about humans in the future. They have cancers, but they're kind of farming the right types of cancers. And it's like, oh bro, your cancer is bad. You gotta get fixed, get the right cancer. And there's like life forms. Basically, if I understood what Forex Shark was saying, there are like, it's like a different life form evolving out of the choices that they make as to which kind of cancer they keep and which kind of cancer they reject. That sounds very evolutionary. So I have to watch this movie. I'll try to watch it tonight. What else? Florida sheriff says men will absolutely not face charges for defending home with AK-47 style gun. Very interesting, because it was a home invasion. The guy gets his handgun first, but he drops it on the floor, loses it, eventually gets to his AK-47, shoots the home invaders. I'm happy that there are still places like Florida in the US. The Ohio 10-year-old's alleged rapist is a Guatemalan illegal immigrant, according to an ICE source. So this is the whole story of a 10-year-old girl who got raped and who later got an abortion. So it's a big point for the left to say, under the abolishment of Roe v. Wade, she would have been forced to carry the baby. Which is not clear that it's the case to me, because most of these laws will have exceptions for rape, and certainly exceptions for the life of the woman being threatened. And I'm pretty sure that some doctors could easily make the case that if you carry a baby at 10-year-old, your life is threatened. In any case, we learned that not all aspects of this story fit the left's narrative, because as it turns out, it was a rape by an illegal migrant. And a last news item before we close the show. The Dallas school district is surveying parents about potential policy to require clear backpacks, report says. Security measure comes after a deadly shooting at Robb Elementary in Uvalde, Texas. So we would have clear backpacks, people would go to school, you would see all of the inside content of their backpacks. Not a bad idea, but if you're at the point where the place you go to is so unsafe that you need to carry clear backpacks, I would wish that people would just understand that public schools are not a solution. Schools in general are not a solution, and that we have to find another way to raise children. Shelburne says, I thought that story was proven a lie, JF. Well, they publish it today in Fox News. Look at this. Transparent bags. The Dallas Independent School District could decide as early as this month to require students to use clear backpacks after sending a survey about the matter to parents on Tuesday. I mean, it doesn't look like a fake story. I don't know why Fox News would publish a fake story, but the link to the article will be in the description below, as are the links of all that I illustrate on the show. They are always available in the description below, so you can check for yourself and see if it's true. Silver Spider sends a super chat. He says, hey JF, what is your opinion on Xenobots? Can we consider them a life form or a robot? Xenobots, I think I have seen that before. I just want to check that I know what I'm talking about. Synthetic life forms, yeah. Yeah, and you know, it's like anything that replicates is alive. So that includes your photocopier. When you copy a piece of paper, that piece of paper has the aspects of life to it because it made a copy of itself. But it's uninteresting life. It's life that doesn't evolve because it doesn't get subjected to natural selection, doesn't have a mechanism for mutation, so it's boring life. So that's what I advocate we should call the Xenobots and the pieces of paper and everything that replicates. We should call them boring life. Oh yeah, it's life. It's boring life. Go away, says JF. This is an invasion of privacy. I would have been arrested for drug offenses if we had these bags when I was in high school. Okay, well, don't bring drugs to school, children, okay? Don't do it. Go away, please. As far as if it's a violation of privacy, maybe. Maybe it is. I guess what you would have the government argue in these cases is it's not a violation of privacy because we're simply making it not possible for you to bring a dark bag. We're not trying to inspect your dark bag. We're not trying to get to know what's inside your bag. We are just telling you that with a black bag, you will not be able to enter the school. We're not going to check inside. We're just not going to let you in. I don't know. Anyways, rights to privacy are so poorly defined, they basically don't exist in America. We should have clearer language in the Constitution about this. Because we have this whole amendment, you know. Searches, unreasonable searches and seizures, but unreasonable is very hard to define. Go away, says JF. Why not make the students wear transparent clothes so they can't bring weapon into school under their clothes? Well, then you would have access to something, which is you would see the bodies of people, which they may want to hide. But yeah, I guess you could argue they may want to hide their pencils and their personal journal in their backpack. I mean, ultimately, it's all very subjective, whether we consider, and that's a failure of the law, but you know, Kurt Doolittle has some thoughts on this, where he wants to extend the definition of property to anything that you care about, basically. So from the Kurt Doolittle perspective, what's inside the backpack could be subjected to enough care that basically it's not in your right to ask for it to be transparent. It's all very subjective. We don't have an objective ground to evaluate this. That's it for tonight, everyone. Thank you so much for being here tonight. And if you would like to support the show, join the Patreon or the Subscribestar. We will have our private hangout. Let me check the date here. We will have our private hangout on Monday, the 18th. And Fish Ballista is getting overheated. He wants to do a superb argument. I can't wait for him to do it. We'll see what he has to say. It will be at 9 p.m. on the 18th for the Patreon and Subscribestar subscribers at the $20 level. Thank you so much for those of you who have been supporting the show for a long time. And I will see you all tomorrow. And yeah, sorry for this morning, Styx canceled the debate. So there was no debate on the Crucible about abortion. Styx had an emergency abortion medical rendezvous that he couldn't escape. Just before coming to argue a pro-abortion argument on the Crucible, he just suddenly, out of nowhere, decided he needed an abortion. And since he was in a European country, he was able to immediately schedule the abortion. So hopefully he'll be able to reschedule once his male uterus has recovered.